As Brian mentioned this morning, our topic for today is church membership. Many years ago, the theological college used to be called the Theological Hall. And it was a hall. It's just a very small room, in fact. Hall was a bit grandiose to describe it. It's just a little room in a church building on the Grosvenor Road in Belfast. And many of you will have no recollection of that church building at all. It disappeared as one of the effects of the bombings in the city. Disappeared quite some time ago. But I remember whenever I was there at the Theological Hall that the members of that congregation decided to visit around the district where the church was and to introduce themselves and to introduce the church and to seek opportunities to bring the gospel to their neighbours. And the students who were there, we joined them in this. So conversations usually started off in a rather low-key way. And we usually simply began by asking the people in the streets about their own church connection. Some were more enthusiastic, obviously, than others. But I encountered a kind of phrase which was new to me and I've thought about since. And we'd say to somebody, do you have a church connection in this area? And they obviously didn't have much to do with the church. But they'd say, oh, yes, yes, indeed. I pay into St. Andrew's. Or I pay into College Square congregation. Obviously, in their mind, as long as now and again you put something in an envelope and either handed it in at church or placed it in the collection of the church service, you were a member. So if you needed a baby baptized, if you needed a marriage performed, if you needed a funeral conducted, if you needed somebody in hospital to be visited, you had every right to expect that since you paid into the church. Well, obviously, that is not membership. Membership isn't accomplished by paying into something. So we want to think this morning about what is membership of the church. Reformed Presbyterians believe that there are two ways people can be regarded as members. And I'm going to quote from our testimony. It says the church in its visible aspect, in other words, the church that you can see, there's a church you can't see, the invisible church, made up of all the people in the world who are truly converted, whose hearts are known to the Lord. We can only see the visible church. There's the invisible church. Now, the invisible church are those whose hearts have been changed, who are truly believers, and the visible church are those who profess to be believers, who say they are. And here's how our testimony puts it. The church in its visible aspect consists of those who profess faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and obedience to him together with their children. Believers are members and their children are members. So we want to concentrate this morning on the first part of that. The church in its visible aspect consists of those who profess faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and obedience to him. We want to think about some aspects of membership. We need to say right at the beginning that membership of a local congregation of Christ's church is not something that's up for debate. It isn't a question that a Christian needs to wonder about. They don't need to say, I wonder, should I be a member or should I not be a member of a local congregation? It is the will of Christ for his people that they are members of a local congregation. We are not spiritual lone rangers drifting through on our own, occasionally calling in for a bit of nourishment or fellowship somewhere. And I say that because, strangely, some in our day aren't really convinced that you should be a member anywhere. And they do drift from one place to another, but have no membership anywhere. Clearly that cannot be right. Christ founded the church, and loyalty to him as our king will mean loyalty to the organization which he has set up for the good of his people and the advancement of his kingdom. Every true believer is, of course, a member of the invisible church, but it's our duty to acknowledge that by membership in a local congregation of the visible church. Well, let's think about four aspects of membership, what it really means. Membership means, first of all, profession. The church in its visible aspect consists of those who profess faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and obedience to him. Those in full membership are baptized persons who profess faith in the Lord Jesus as their Savior and who seek to live their lives consistently with that profession. Usually we refer to this as a credible profession of faith, that someone has received into membership on the basis of a credible profession of faith. In other words, a profession which can be believed by those who hear it. If somebody says, "I am a Christian," but there are glaring and dramatic inconsistencies in their life, then that profession is not credible. It's hard to believe it. If he says, "I am a Christian," but he never attends worship or comes only once every 3 or 4 months and shows no concern whatever for what the Bible teaches and seems to enjoy better the company of people who don't have anything to do with the gospel than those who are believers, you would have to question that profession. Only the Lord can see the heart. But a profession of faith by which someone is received as a member of a congregation needs to be credible. It needs to be accompanied by evidences that the profession he makes is in fact real and true. So what is it then that a person professes when he comes into membership in a local congregation? Well, primarily, he professes that he has come to believe in Jesus as his Savior, that he has turned to him, believing who he is and believing what he has done in his life and death and resurrection, that he is trusting in him and is committed to him. He professes that. He also professes that it is his intention by God's grace to continue the Christian life and to grow as a Christian through using all the means which God has provided. That's the profession. I am trusting the Lord and I am committed to follow him and to grow in likeness and obedience to him. It's a simple profession, isn't it? It isn't complicated, isn't obscure or weird or difficult. Making a profession of faith doesn't mean you have to be able to recount great portions of Hodges' 3 volumes on systematic theology. It's simple. Straightforward. When you think about the terms of membership that the RP Church has, you know the 4 of them. I believe the Bible. I trust in Christ. I will be submissive to the teaching of the church. And I will endeavor, by the help of the Holy Spirit, to live a life consistent with my profession. It is simple and straightforward. and uncomplicated. Well, to whom is this profession made? If you make a profession, you must make it to someone. We would say it's made, isn't it, in our hearts to the Lord. We acknowledge to Him that we are trusting Him and committed to Him. And then we say we're making this profession in a way to ourselves, if that doesn't sound strange. But let's put it like this. We're really asking ourselves some very serious and fundamental questions. Here's a person coming into membership of the church and seeking to be a member of a local congregation, and he's going to make this profession of faith as he does so. Well, he's got to make it in a way to himself and ask himself some questions. Have I responded to God's call in the gospel? Have I experienced conversion? Can I say that my desire in life is truly to follow Christ and to serve Him? Am I relying on Him alone for salvation and not on anything that I do? Is there some evidence in my life that I am loving and trusting in Christ? But when you come to membership of the local congregation, the profession has to be made before those who are leaders there. In other words, the elders. And just to quote again from our testimony, this is what it says, or maybe this is the code, the direction for congregational life. It says, to the session belongs the right of admitting or of excluding from membership of the congregation. The elders are acting as servants of Christ. They are under shepherds. And so, as His servants, they have the responsibility of admitting people into membership. The profession of faith which someone makes then in becoming a member is made to them. And then this profession is made, of course, before the church itself. In some congregations, those coming into membership are asked to make their profession of faith in front of the congregation during a worship service. You might like to discuss what you think of that in the discussion groups this evening. What do you think of that particular approach? I know that there are some congregations where that is the case. Maybe the questions are put to an individual in front of the whole congregation. In others, more simply, a person meets the elders, makes his or her profession of faith before them, and then they announce that to the congregation. We are delighted this morning to say that this person or that person has been received into membership on the basis of their profession of faith. So membership means profession. Secondly, membership means persuasion. You become a member of the local church on profession of faith in Christ as Savior. But which church? Which local church? There are numerous denominations in Ireland. Many of them are evangelical. Several of them are Reformed. How does a Christian decide? We don't, of course, see denominations in the New Testament, but they are a fact of life for us today. And so here's a decision that has to be made. Some people will say, well, I'll choose the one I grew up in. That's familiar. I have a kind of cozy feeling there. I know everybody. I know the way things work. I know my way around. I feel comfortable. If somebody says, are you going on the CY outing? I don't need to sit and think, what would that mean? CY? I don't see why I should go in this, you know. Or actually, we had an interesting thing a while ago. A family new to our congregation weren't familiar with all the terminology. And as you know, we have terminology, and at the end of the communion service, usually the Thanksgiving service, because the elders, the session, have been acting formally as session, overseeing all of the services of communion. At the very end, the minister will say, "I declare that the session is dissolved." And this lady stopped me at the door that night and said, "What have you done to the session? You've dissolved them." Like, I mean, it sounded as if we'd put them into a big pot of hot water and, you know, they're all dissolved. But it just was an illustration to me of how we have terminology that we know, and when you say it, everybody knows what you mean, but not everybody knows what you mean. But you might say, well, I'll choose the congregation or the church where everything's familiar to me. Or some might say, well, I think more about the one that my friends at school attend. Then we could cement our friendships and continue them and develop them. Or maybe the one that has the best preacher in town, or the nicest building, or the most exciting program, or most people my own age. Now, in deciding membership of a local congregation, we must, of course, be aware of and take into account God's providence in our lives. In other words, where He has placed us with our families, where He has been dealing with us and nurturing us through our days, we cannot set that aside. That is important. But membership of a local church needs to be on the basis of persuasion. We must be persuaded concerning the church in which we seek membership. Persuaded that its teaching and practice, as far as we can see, are the nearest we can find to a scriptural pattern. Does this church faithfully teach the Word of God? What a vital question that is. Look at its statement of faith. Is worship here according to the pattern given in the Bible? Is this a place where there will be fellowship and nurturing for me as a Christian? Is this a place where I will be able to serve the Lord as one of His people? We need to be persuaded about things like that. We need to be persuaded about them so that in good conscience we can commit ourselves to membership in that place. We're not holding on to membership with a very loose hand, keeping it at a distance. For a good conscience, we need to be persuaded of these things. Is this a church where I will be cared for spiritually and helped to grow? So there must be persuasion. Persuasion that the church is biblical in its teaching, in its practice, in its life. It won't be perfectly consistent in those things. There is no such thing in the world as a perfectly consistent church. But is there a great measure of that as far as we can see? So there must be then, regarding our membership, persuasion. Profession, persuasion. The third thing is, as we think about membership, there ought to be participation. At any of the camps, I guess it's be the same, there will be a variety of football shirts on display. That's okay. It's a way of saying, this is the team I like best. I used to be amused at school because we'd all come back on Monday morning and there'd be all the usual conversation in the playground. And one would say to another, "We really beat you on Saturday. We really beat you." Or we were really unfortunate, we'll say they were. in losing to you, and so on. And I used to think, why do these fellows talk like that about West Bromwich Albion or Sheffield Wednesday? We, West Bromwich Albion, really beat you, Sheffield Wednesday. They've never even been to Sheffield. They couldn't point to it on the map. There was nothing at all in them to do with Sheffield or Birmingham. They just happened to like the shirt or like the team or something. But they really weren't part of it. It was a distant thing, away, far, in an unknown part of England. Membership means participation, being in there, part of the body. It's not just a place where we have a vague interest in or a very loose connection to. Membership means being part of this body and participating in it. Let's think of some ways of participation. Clearly, we participate by regular, expectant attendance at the worship and the activities of the congregation. Take part faithfully and enthusiastically in the worship and fellowship and work of your local congregation. I said a couple of days ago that it's very discouraging when you see people who in worship are not attempting to sing, or drifting away in their eyes or their minds. Bring your Bible. Follow the reading. In prayer, follow the praying. Say amen. If you're going to be absent, and you know you're going to be absent next Lord's Day, tell one of your elders. He is interested. He should be interested in where you are. Don't leave him or the minister the next week saying, I wonder where they are today. I wonder where they've gone. I wonder why they are not here. I am really thankful for several people in our congregation. And if they're going to be away at something the following Lord's Day, they will always say to me, next week we're going to be here or there, or I've got to go away with work for a few days, so you'll not see me at worship, but you'll know where I am. That's really good. Participation means being regular and expectant in our attendance. This is where we belong. Participate also then by praying for the church, for the worship, for the work, for the Sabbath school, for the CY. Pray for God's blessing on its work and witness. One of the greatest encouragements I had beginning as a minister was from a lady, interestingly, not in our congregation, but in the town where I was living. And she said to me, after I'd been there several years, she said, you know, every Sunday morning, I pray for you at the time that you will be going out to conduct the service in your congregation. That was a tremendous encouragement. Pray for the church. Pray for the members. Some of our congregations in recent years have drawn up a list of the members, divided it into the days of the month, and put names into each appropriate to each day in the month, and the idea is that the congregation will be praying regularly one for another throughout the year and throughout the cycle of the month. That makes you more interested in individuals in the congregation, who's looking for work, who's ill, who's doing an exam, who's moving house, who's in trouble. Participate by praying. Participate by supporting financially. We do believe in the biblical practice of tithing. that it is the teaching of God's Word that we should set aside to begin with a tenth of our income to give primarily to our local church. Participate then as well by using your gifts in serving Christ and His people in the church. Paul writes to the Corinthians, "We have different gifts according to the grace given us." And then he lists several ways these gifts are to be used. There's a diversity of gifts, and there's a necessity to use them for the good of the whole body. He says this, "God has arranged the parts of the body, every one of them, just as He wanted to be, just as He wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body, and all are to serve each other and the Lord." That's the purpose, in fact, Paul writes the Ephesians, of having a regular pastoral ministry in any local congregation. The purpose is to prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. So we're to serve Christ by using whatever gifts we have been given for the building up of His body, the church. Don't wait to be asked. Tell one of the elders that you'd be willing to help in some way. Suggest perhaps something you could do and be willing to do it. And then a final way of participating in the life of the local congregation is by helping to promote and to keep the unity of that local church. Unity in the local congregation is vital to its witness. If there are arguments, if there are grudges being borne, if there is tension between members so that everybody has to tiptoe around and make sure they don't trample on someone's toes, then, of course, that is dishonoring to the Lord and damaging to the cause of the gospel. Unity in the body is essential. The command is addressed to each member of the church. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort, you personally, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Without that unity, the work of the kingdom is hindered. It's essential to our testimony. All men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Here then is how we participate, some of the ways we participate in the local congregation. Finally, membership means privilege. It means profession, persuasion, participation, and privilege. I've already mentioned in passing some of these privileges that we enjoy. Let's notice them in particular. What benefit does a member receive from being a member? Well, there's the privilege of belonging, the privilege of receiving, and the privilege of fulfilling. Take them in turn. The privilege of belonging. As a member, you belong to a local community of believers. You are part of that community and that body. You are part of that body which meets to serve and to worship God. Worship in heaven will be a gathered assembly of redeemed people. The writer to the Hebrews says, "You have come to Mount Zion, to the heavenly Jerusalem, the city of the living God. You have come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly, to the church of the firstborn, whose names are written in heaven." You belong to this body. And that's true of the local church on earth. You belong to this body. There are many, many verses in the Bible which include the phrase one another. Love one another, encourage one another, build one another up, exhort one another, rebuke one another. A whole series of them. Fellowship involves the carrying out of those one another's. So we have the privilege of belonging. We then have the privilege of receiving. Receiving two things. One is teaching. Teaching in the Word of God by men called by the Lord to do this for your spiritual benefit. He has given some to be pastors and teachers, the Bible says, with this end in view, that we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ, that you will grow as a Christian. You will receive teaching, helping you to grow. And you receive something else. You receive care. There are men called and appointed who have your best interests at heart. The elders were told, keep watch over you as men who must give account. They care for you. And your other members, your brothers and sisters, care for you also. There's the privilege of belonging, the privilege of receiving, and the privilege of fulfilling. As a member of the church, you're part of the body which God has set in the world to bring glory to His name. You're being helped to fulfill that great purpose. If there were no local churches in any community, it would suffer a far greater loss than it could ever imagine. And the local church is functioning as a healthy, unified, loving community. The members benefit, the community outside benefits, and the Lord is honored. Everybody needs a sense of purpose. And here's the real and ultimate and true sense of purpose, to bring glory to God. And we are helped to fulfill that through our membership in the church. While before coming to camp, I was preparing ahead for next Lord's Day morning and working on a sermon for then. And a little rhyme came into my head that I'd heard quite a long time ago. And I wondered if I'd got it right. I thought I had got it right. And then lo and behold, when I came down to camp, I was looking over the bookstall. There on the cover of one of the books was this little rhyme. I'll just close with it. It's very simple. You may think it is, in fact, a bit too simple. But it's got a point to it which is always very challenging and certainly very relevant as we think about membership. It says, if every member was just like me, what kind of a church would my church be? Membership means profession, persuasion, participation, and privilege. So let's think what our membership means for our particular congregation.